Hello and welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people like you and like me. I've got Sean Priest with me. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Stephen.
And I've got Tim Schwartz. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. Hi, Sean.
And it's our birthday. Yes. Yes, it's our birthday. 200 episodes in, guys. We're still here. We haven't been fired yet. How has this happened, is my question.
I don't know, but it has. Happy birthday, Stephen. 200 episodes. That's amazing.
It's a great job. Happy birthday, yeah.
I know, and the thing is that Sean takes credit for this, but he's only been here for about 80 of them.
Well, to be honest, that's why I don't really recognise this birthday. I think it should have reset when I joined.
Is this a sham birthday for you, is it?
Exactly, yes.
Oh, well, listen, thank you to everyone who's been with us for 200 episodes. It's just been incredible that we've been on here this length of time talking about technology. And you know, I think the most amazing thing has been the change in technology since we began this program way back when. I mean, we started out, iPhone 3, I think, was out. 3GS, I think, was just out at that time. And, you know, we all kind of, at that point, all blind people were like, oh, how's this going to work for us? And that's kind of where the show was born out of, really, this idea that mainstream tech could be used by all of us. And that's something we've certainly held true to today. So, I'm very excited. Who brought the cake?
Tim. That was Tim's job.
Oh, well, you guys can have what's left.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Crumbs as usual, yes. Okay.
Each of us gets our own cake.
Yeah. I like this birthday. I want another birthday next week. Right, loads to get through on the show this week. There's tons of news, guys. Few issues. Issues is kind of the theme this week, really, because there's a lot of technology issues we need to be talking about. Particularly with Mozilla Firefox and JAWS. There's issues with the Google Pixel XL smartphone. A few of our listeners are having issues as well. So I think it's time to talk issues. Yes. Right. Let's.
Sorry.
Thanks for supporting me in that one, guys. Right. Okay. Let's get to the emails. Do you know, it's so nice. 200 episodes in, and the team spirit is just so there. Too busy eating cake. That's what's wrong with you two. Right. Okay. So let's hear from Sue, who got in touch with us, and she hadn't heard her email be read out, so we thought we'd read it out. That's probably on me.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah. So I apologise, Sue. I did send you a lovely email back. And I think I sent you an emoji, but that might not have been an emoji because I don't do emojis. Just want to point that out. In fact, you know, just before I read Sue's email, someone got in touch with me on Twitter the other week and said, hang on a minute, if you don't like emojis so much, why is there an emoji in your Twitter name? And do you know something? I didn't realize that was an emoji.
Where?
The microphone.
Yeah. It's it. Whenever you go to my name, it says Stephen Scott, radio microphone. And I copied that from someone else. I think that's illegal.
hang on, you copied your name from someone else.
No,
could you not
my name.
Think of it?
Was yeah. What name would work for me? Let's go for the one I've got. No, the microphone. The little microphone. I copied that from someone else. I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know that was an emoji, but now I do.
Okay. Stephen Scott, they're the host of Tech Talk. Is that an emoji?
I don't know anymore. I don't care about emojis. I can't see them, so if I can't see it, I'm not interested in it. It's just like ghosts. Right, to Sue. very Halloween-themed joke there. Right, okay, to Sue's email. She says, hi, I've been listening to Tech Talk for a while now. Good for you. And I can't help noticing just how Apple-orientated it is. This is an old email, by the way. I just want to point out, this is an old email. This was sent to us a while ago. but actually, and I hope that's changed, Sue, for you. Also, she says, the presenters, whilst really nice and knowledgeable, here we go, seem to think that the whole world wants to keep their lives tied to a smartphone. Now, I regard myself as pretty tech-savvy, but I use a Victor Reader Stream and a Synaptic phone, and the reason for this is that with reading a lot, I read a lot, and the phone is plugged in at all times, as the battery is not as good as the Stream. I need my phone to be available as, guess what, a phone, when I need a phone. And if I've used all the battery doing other things, then I'm stuck when the need comes to make a call. Also, the Stream is a delight to use. I can set a bookmark with the quick press of a button, so no swiping about. I can get the time, set a sleep timer, find out how much book I've got left to read, read all my text files and make voice notes all at the touch of a button and all from the same keypad. And this is why I love it so much. And even I carry a spare battery just in case. I use it for all my workbooks, teaching manuals, etc. And can even have the text read and spelled character by character. Again, no swiping, just one button. Now, as for the phone, with the Synaptic software, Sue says I can easily carry out the most important tasks with just a slide of the finger. Again, no swiping or learning individual apps. I can get documents, get radio, news and more. I can keep my diary and set reminders. I can search the web and even use YouTube, all with the same movements. And the best thing is if I need any other apps, I have the ability to download them and go straight to the app via Synaptic, triple tap home, and I can use TalkBack. So please do think about us out here who have found the best solution for ourselves and still like the speed of a home an actual button press and the ability to choose how we use a smartphone. I'm not going to give up my two devices without kicking and screaming. They give me the best of everything. Thanks, Sue. Do you know, Sue, I couldn't agree more with that, actually. I've said it before, and I know we do talk a lot about Apple on this show. We do talk a lot about Android now as well. And I hope we don't ever get to a stage where someone says to us, "You're too Android-focused." Although that will be hilarious. I will put that email up on my wall if we get one of those.
I don't think we have to worry.
No. But I will say that I think we have tried to talk more about new technology, other types of technology. And I've said for a long time, guys, I think it's sometimes important to have a few different tools in your toolbox, if you like. You know, the Victor Reader Stream is a great piece of kit. It's not one I've really bothered with too much, but I know a lot of blind friends use it. They like it. And Synaptic is certainly one that the blind community have taken on board. And it's not... We were wrapped over the knuckles about this a few weeks ago, about kind of calling it the beginner's guide to smartphones. You know, a lot of people saying that's not the case.
Oh, it is. That is the case. I'm sorry. So, look, perfect email, and you were absolutely right. Victor Reader Stream, it's all about how you want to use your technology. But I will say, for the price of the Victor Reader Stream, just purely going off that, off the price, I think having that device for most people just for, as you said, it's excellent for reading and things like that, and text documents, as well as other things. I just think the cost of it is a little high for what it does. Now, that's not to say people shouldn't use it and it shouldn't be there as an option. Of course it should. You prove that. But I just think with a smartphone or a tablet, which is the what most people use, and the majority of people do use a smartphone or a tablet nowadays,
yeah,
you've just got far more options there. Of course, it does mean there's a bit of a learning curve, and for people that don't want to have to put the time into, you know, learn an app and everything, then that is a negative. But it gives you far more options, I find. Now, again, I am not saying, so please don't email me, I'm not saying no one use a Victor Reader Stream, because it is there for a purpose. But from a price comparison point of view, I think you just get far more options with a smartphone, whether that be Synaptic, Android, or an iPhone. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that whole Victor Reader Stream and Victor Reader Trek discussion really got us into a lot of trouble. But that being said...
Nothing new there.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. But that being said, you know, Sean and I did concede that there are people who are going to want that tactile ability of the Victor Reader Stream. They're going to want that separation from the phone. And as Sean just said, there's people who may just want to stay within the sandbox that is Victor Reader and not have to worry about learning different apps or app functions and different settings and things like that. And they just want to use their phone for certain things and certain tasks and the Victor Reader for other things. And so, you know, that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's just Sean and I in past episodes, and I know even since with Stephen, when you came back, you know, it may not be for us, but that's okay. Just because it's not for us doesn't mean that there are people out there that it can't be for. And so just because we would prefer to use apps and do it that way doesn't mean that there aren't good reasons to have a Victor Reader. Although I do agree with Sean that for the price point, it's difficult to swallow. I had a Victor Reader Stream first edition, and I liked it. It was a great device, and I really enjoyed the experience. But once I got my iPhone, I couldn't look back. I've said this on this program a couple times. There was no going back for me. And even with the new Victor Reader Trek that's adding GPS to the Stream's abilities, for the added price of that, yes, it's better than buying a Stream and a Trek separately. So it is a better price if you were buying two devices, but it's still a lot more than what I'd want to spend on a device like that. So, you know, again, is it for me? Is it for us? Maybe not, but there are people who want to use it. So good for them.
Do you know, and I agree totally. If you want to buy something, then spend your money. Buy what you like. I don't care. It's your money. But here's the thing. From my point of view, I want to be able to buy something that I can get some understanding of how to use it. One of the things I got a loan of a Victor Reader Stream from Humanware to do a review. And they sent it over to me on a two-week basis. And in the 2 weeks, I picked it up a couple of times, and every time I scratched my head going, how does this work? Now, I know there's guides online, and you can look up stuff, and that's all fine. And there are groups online you can spend time with. I must admit, I wasn't quite as affiliated with them at the time as I am now. A lot of Facebook groups out there, for example, which I would encourage anyone to get involved in. They do really help. But, you know, I couldn't find anybody who really could talk me through it. I wasn't going to spend, you know, I wouldn't spend the time trying to work out how to use an Amazon Echo by going onto forums and, you know, looking up YouTube videos and all that. I would just switch it on and use it. Do you know what I mean? You kind of get the basics.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with using mainstream tech versus specialist tech. The knowledge is implied with everybody, whoever has it, and most people probably do have one. So you can even just ask around the office. In my case, is what I did. Oh, how do you make it do this? Oh, you just do that, and you had the answer. That doesn't apply to everything, of course, and especially when you use VoiceOver on the iPhone. Not everyone's going to know how to, you know, make that work properly, but the basics are there, and the simplicity, and actually that's the interesting thing, what Apple's done and Android have done, is they've made the software so easy to understand out of the box. I mean, I didn't have to look up anything in order to get my Android working.
Yeah.
I didn't have to look up any information at all, whereas the Victor Reader Stream to me just felt like it was a big phone that couldn't phone anyone, and I didn't really know what to do with it. I knew all the capabilities of it, but I just didn't know how to get to them. And I think that's something that kind of gets forgotten in all of this. You know, the 300-page user manual thing is dead. No one does that anymore. And I just don't know. I mean, maybe it's laziness on my part, but, you know, I just...
No, it couldn't be, surely.
Surely not.
Not entirely, no, no. When I had my Victor Reader Stream, I eventually learned how to use it, and I learned how to use it well. But the problem was, in the beginning, I kept having to go look in the manual, look online to remind myself what the key functions were, the key combination was, to turn on the user help guide to try to figure out what the keys did. And so if it wasn't intuitive enough for me to remember those couple of button pushes in order to get into the help, well, there then how much help is that? And so it did take me a while, and I did eventually learn it, but it just, I don't know, it just wasn't... Was it an easy process? But like I said, once I learned it was fine. But I would much rather have the functionality of my phone. I don't have battery issues, you know, with my iPhone 7 as much. Well, now with iOS 11 I do, but you know, otherwise, you know, plug it in maybe once in the middle of the afternoon and then I'm good the rest of the day if that's the case, if I've used it a lot. Otherwise I'm fine. So other than that, I don't see a reason for me personally to ever go back to a Stream or a Victor Reader Trek, and so that's just, you know, that's just, it is the way it is for me.
But let me just say, what I don't want anyone to think is, as I'm saying, don't buy these devices. They're not good. Of course they are. They're brilliant devices. My, personally, and we all talk from our point of view here, guys, right? We're not talking about this from, we're not trying to sell you anything or not sell you anything. We're just talking. the clue's in the name. But here's what we're trying to do, and what I'm trying to do is, you know, not so much just use mainstream tech, but I guess I've found solutions to the problems that the Victor Reader Stream has brought up. So, you know, okay, so accessible GPS is an issue, so that can be done now through the Victor Reader Trek. I can listen to books through it, all that stuff. But I can do all of that on my device, on my iPhone or my Android or my computer. So I guess, and from my point of view, I'm not saying don't buy the Humanware device at all. What I'm saying is, in my case, I've found an alternative option. And I think that's important to say, because I would never say don't buy something or go buy it, because it's up to you what you spend your money on. And there are times I have bought, I mean, I bought the talking watch, which everyone thought was hilarious.
Yes, because it was.
But you did find that funny, didn't you? But the talking watch was great, because it meant I always, you know, my Apple Watch, as much as I love my new Apple Watch, its battery just lasts a day and that's about it. And if I do any calls on it, it lasts even less. So Having a watch that can actually tell me the time, which is kind of what I need a watch for, let's be honest. That's the basic purpose of a watch. You know I can always rely on that device. So that's why I have a separate one of those.
Yes, well, I just want to echo that because, you know, I don't want to say that learning the Victor Reader Stream is particularly difficult or anything. It's just the same as any piece of hardware. You know, you've got to get familiar with it. It's the same if you've got a new smartphone or switch to Android or iPhone.
That's right.
So there is no particularly difficulty with the Victor Reader Stream. It's just a case of whatever you're familiar with and whatever works for you is absolutely fine. But in our case, we do find that most people do use a smartphone or a mobile device, and a lot of the VI community use a iOS device as well. So, you know, we do talk about what most people want us to talk about.
Okay, well, just a follow-up on the email from Sue that she sent me, and she says, the Thomas Pocklington Trust has produced a guide to accessible devices. It covers everything from smart devices to accessible washing machines and much more, and you can get it in accessible PDF from the Thomas Pocklington Trust. Put that in your favourite search engine. And if you use Bing, can you tell us? Because I don't think anyone uses that anymore. I hope this is of interest to... I think what only people use Bing are people who are looking to get to Google. I think that's generally how it works. I hope this is of interest to some of your listeners. Also, if you have an existing smart device, says Sue, such as a heating controller, and it doesn't work with VoiceOver or TalkBack or the Amazon Echo, contact the manufacturer and let them know. I did this with our boiler controller. The app isn't fully accessible using either iOS or Android, and isn't one of the Echo's skills. However, after talking to a lovely lady, she informed me that they are fully aware of this and they are in final testing of the Echo skill to be available in the near future. And she took my details to email me when it went live. They're also looking into making the apps fully accessible, so definitely worth a phone call. And she does say at the end of her email that she sent me, prodding me to get her email on, she said, glad to hear a bit more about Android lately. As you say, it is probably when you start what you start out with that colours your view for the rest.
Yes.
I also noticed that you rarely mentioned Supernova as an alternative to JAWS on a Rater. I have used it since its very early DOS days. Oh, I remember those. And it does all I want it to do, and I'm very happy with it. I have tried NVDA, but as you say, I am so used to my Supernova screen reader that I lose patience. Common ground has been found, Sue. Yes, that's it, basically.
Group hug, Sue.
Bring it in.
Exactly, but that's it. You know, you find what works for you.
Yep.
Supernova, I last time I used that, I was at school. That tells you how long ago I used that. And you know, I actually, I'll tell you who I blame for this. I blame the government.
Of course
well,
you do.
Actually, do you know what? I do blame the government. Not any particular government, just the government. Because when I think about it, access to work dictated to me what I would get. Exactly. Not the other way around. I didn't choose Zoom text when I was starting out. It was chosen for me by access to work. Now, I'm not going to criticise that decision because, you know, I was glad to have it. If I didn't have it, I'd have been stuck. So I'm glad I had the option. But I think the point I'm making is that, you know, the technology is kind of chosen for us, and that immediately puts you on a side. So if you didn't start with Supernova, and I know some people did, you know, from my school, some people were put on Supernova, some people use Zoom text. You just got what you were given. You know, I was a kid. I was too busy, I don't know, trying to...
Doing what, Stephen?
Do things up. Nah, I can't say. Yeah. But, you know, in my case, it was probably take the lid off the video recorder.
I think Sue is absolutely right, though. I mean, Dolphin do a fantastic job. They're a great company. They're really customer-friendly as well. And we don't mention Supernova. That is quite true. Maybe we can get someone from Dolphin on at one time to talk about it.
Well, I've said to Sue, come on, you know, get on the show. Tell us about it.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully Sue will. Right, some other emails we got in over the past week or so. Kelly Muggeridge is back in touch. Hi, Kelly. Good to hear from you again. She says, hi, gang. I have important information for those who use RNIB in your pockets. It's being upgraded. Now, what will happen is the system will automatically reboot itself. It will take a couple of minutes for the device to do this. The other good thing is, and Julie Roddaway would love this, she says, you can now configure Wi-Fi without sighted assistance. Well, that's a big update, actually. That was something that was the RNIB in your pocket was criticised for at the beginning.
Quite rightly so, let's be honest. That should have been in from the start. Yes.
Absolutely. So you will have to do this after it has rebooted, though. So that suggests you will have to set up your Wi-Fi again, even if you already have. The update means you will have to do it again. She says, when you configure Wi-Fi to a network, it will speak aloud your password. good to know. You need to use headphones so that this can be done in private, unless you're at home, I guess, on your own. However, you won't be able to configure Wi-Fi in public places such as a hotel or restaurant. This is because it requires network login, and it will release problems with reading talking books and downloading some podcasts. What happens is that you can't read talking books properly because it jumps all over the place. It will also mean that you will have network reliability on network cover. This will take place next week, apparently. Well, Kelly, thanks for sharing that. She says, in addition, this means you will have to use your network coverage. For those who don't know, RNIB in your pocket, when you buy it, you get a subscription with it that gets you the ability to use 4G, 3G connection wherever you are. So you can use that when you're out and about, and that's the idea. And then when you're at home, you use your own Wi-Fi. But you can't use public Wi-Fi. There you go. Good to know. But yeah, it's a good device to consider. It really is. You don't have anything like that over there, Tim, do you? You've got, what do you, I'm trying to think what you've got. You've got, for listening to newspapers and magazines, you've got Newsline, haven't you, from NFB?
We do have NFB Newsline for that, and then we have Bard from the National Library, where you can get books as well as other newspapers and magazines in there as well. And then, of course, there are apps to get audiobooks and ebooks through the library, and then, of course, Audible. So yeah, we do have several different choices for getting digital content like that.
Okay, quick question from Paul McCollum, who got in touch. He says, hi guys, I am pleased about both iTunes and Amazon doing audio description, as you've talked about, but I think this is a big issue for me, because after searching for hours to find any that have AD, I gave up all chance of finding any. Do you know of any listings for both of them? Now, do you know, that is a really good point. Netflix did this right, because they put in the audio description menu. I think, Tim, you've found a couple of programs with audio description. I've never managed to find anything with audio description on Amazon as of yet.
Yes, that's right. I've been able to find a handful of shows with audio description on Amazon. I was able to find some movies with audio description, but unfortunately, they weren't always part of my Prime subscription. I did have to pay for them, which is fine.
No, it's not.
Well, I understand, but when you're already paying for the service, you would expect that you wouldn't have to pay extra for some of these movies. The nice thing, at least over here in the States, and I have researched this to see if they apply to the UK, and it just doesn't seem like it's entirely accurate going both ways. But the ACB here in the States, they have a division called the Audio Description Project, and their website does a really good job at tracking both Netflix and Amazon to have a list of everything that's described on each one, if it has a cost or an extra cost on each one. And I have talked to the folks there at Audio Description Project, and they said for the most part, people in the UK can use these lists and it probably will be accurate, but there may be some differences depending on the Netflix store. So you can kind of use that as a guide. But yeah, it's unfortunate that Amazon hasn't gone as far as Netflix, because you're right, Stephen. Netflix does have a separate genre listing for audio description, which I wish they would break that down more when you go in there, because right now it's just one big long list and it's not broken down in its own genres, but that's a whole other thing. But at least you can see the list. In Amazon, there is no list. You just have to know or have found it online or had somebody tell you, and that's a shame.
Yeah, just guess.
Absolutely. It's really annoying. And it just, you're searching constantly. That is a real big oversight. I will say, on iTunes, there is actual category for audio-described movies. It seems in the wrong place. It's hidden away. Now, I'm talking about the Apple TV movies app specifically. I haven't tried it anywhere else, like on the phone or tablet. But if you go to the features or featured tabs and then swipe down, you'll come to something like, I think it's called categories, and it'll say something like sports movies or whatever. But the very last item, if you keep swiping to the right, is audio described movies.
That's right. Yeah.
And that will show you every audio described movie they've got there. But it's hidden away. I don't know why they've got it like that. It seems really strange. It's sort of halfway down the list. But yes, there is a audio described in iTunes. There is a category there. Amazon, there isn't, and they need to work on that, because, yeah, I gave up as well.
I think, though, that in iTunes, if you do a search for audio described or audio description, they did it on purpose. I read an article about that. Even on the phone, if you do a search for AD, audio description, or audio described, they've set the search to where it will find the described movies for you.
Okay, so there are a couple of ways of doing it. Well, That's good to know. I didn't even know that, so that is fantastic. And I have to say, that's not unusual for me not to know things. But, Paul, I hope that helps you, at least with iTunes. Amazon, yeah, come on, you need to get this sorted out, because, you know, if you're going to the effort of making the content with audio description, it'd be nice for us to actually be able to find it.
Here it is, but you can't have it.
Yeah, what's go that find about? Do we get a prize at the end? Do we get a free Echo if we can find the AD? Right, you got another email in here. I just want to pick this one up from who sent this? Greg in Pennsylvania, in the US of A. Hi, Tech Talkers. He says, two quick questions arriving from recent episodes I've been catching up on. Hope you can answer them on the show. First, can you tell me which iOS devices are safe to update to iOS 11? I mention this because my iPod 5th generation became useless when I updated it to iOS 8, and I don't want to make the same mistake with my 6S Plus. Okay, that's his first question. Guys?
Yes, but iOS 8 was a train wreck of an update. The performance was absolutely terrible. Now, this is a slightly tricky question. I have updated my 6S to iOS 11, and speed-wise, I haven't really noticed an issue. It's fine to update a 6S. Lower than that, I think 5S is the base model you can update to iOS 11. And I think it should be fine, that there isn't really speed issues. However, there are still those creeping bugs that may annoy you. So whether you should update to iOS 11 is a different question. But from a performance point of view, I think you're absolutely fine.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's not going to be any performance issues necessarily going back to the 5S, which, like Sean said, is the one you can go backwards compatible to without any issues, or at least supported by Apple. But as far as performance issues, those might not be there. However, you are still going to have the other iOS performance issues and bugs that are just part of the iOS. So will it run slower or be a problem? No. Like Sean said, I don't think there's been any issue. But there's still some battery issues. There's some other clunky bugs here and there. As we've been saying for a couple of weeks now, if you're still on 10, my personal opinion is wait for at least 11.1 and see what that brings. If you haven't updated yet, if you already have upgraded to 11, then every time either a 0.0 or whatever comes out, get them right away. But if you're still sitting on 10, not sure, might as well just wait for 11.1 in my opinion.
I upgraded my 6 Plus. Big mistake. It's interesting you say the 5S upwards. I thought you meant the 6S, but you're right. It is the 5S, isn't it? And to me, that is just crazy because, frankly, the 6 has almost become unbearable with iOS 11 on it. So, but there are two questions, whether you should upgrade and whether you can upgrade successfully. I know in the iPad mini range, it's a little bit confusing because there is an iPad mini 4, which is okay. And then you get up to the sort of iPad Pro range, and then there's the iPad Basic, I think you might want to call it, that they brought out. Remember that one? That was the one that wasn't even announced. It was just launched into shops. Beyond that, obviously, you've got other devices that you might want to use, but that go back. I mean, I have an iPad 4, which is I don't think can take it. And it doesn't really make any sense because some of these devices on the timeline don't really add up. But what I would say to you is look at the Apple website, look at the current range, and kind of base it off that, I guess. Because the iPhone SE, which we, blind people just love the SE.
Yes.
Because of its size, because of its features, and the fact that it doesn't have a huge screen, because why do you need it? It's really, really good. So, that seems to have been updated, but then it depends the version of which one you've got and when you got it. Oh, it gets very confusing, doesn't it? I can understand why Greg sent this email.
I would say with any update, always be wary. If you're updating the very least, the very base model, so in this iOS 11's case, 5S, if you're updating that one, be careful because there are going to be some sort of performance hits there. But specifically for, in this case, the 6S is absolutely fine. I'm really interested to see why you said the 6 was so bad, Stephen.
It's just so slow. Well, I use VoiceOver, remember, so I don't know if it's just I don't use it without VoiceOver.
Everyone uses VoiceOver.
Everyone's blind. So the whole world knows what I'm going through here. No, it's just so sluggish. I mean, trying to do
really?
Things on it, yeah, really sluggish, really slow.
I'm surprised.
It seems that the OS is more visual. I don't really know. I know I heard them when they talked on the presentation about the way that, for example, when you go into a folder, how it appears, it becomes, it almost appears more naturally than it would have on the other devices. It doesn't just appear, it sort of fades in or whatever.
The animation, yeah. I always turn them off. They can help with performance.
Well, that's good. That's a good point, actually, because that might help with performance. I think the best performance this thing could have is being slung out of the nearest window, and that may happen.
Because, well, I'm really interested now. I want to hear from our listeners, anyone who has updated specifically with a 6, if they've noticed a performance hit or, you know, become, as you said, unusable. So I'm surprised by that.
Well, I don't enjoy using it at all. I have got this lovely Moto G5, which is an Android phone. Now, just on a brief point, and just interrupt a second to Greg's email. I will come back to this in a moment, Greg. But yeah, on the point about the phone. So I was supposed to do my third week of Android this week.
Supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, it couldn't happen this week because of a slight issue. As I mentioned last week, I had taken the SIM out of my Moto G5 and put it back into my iPhone, and now I'm realizing the iPhone 6 is kind of useless without it. So I was going back to the Moto G5 earlier on, or I should say later last week. I can't find the battery.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know what I've done with it. So it's in a drawer or in a bag or in a something, but I can't find the battery. So if anyone who, you know, wants to come to the Tech Talk studio and try and find it for me, that would be very appreciative, because I can't find it anywhere among my junk.
We are so professional.
So I apologize. And so blind. But yeah, can't find it anywhere. And it doesn't help that it's the phone, it comes in a black box and it's got a black battery and, you know, it's sitting somewhere very dark. So yeah, I'll find it eventually, but it wasn't going to be happening for this week, so that's why.
Stephen, you look with your hands, not your eyes. Everyone knows that. Yeah.
Shocking. Okay, back to Greg's email. Second, he says, you mentioned a new Amazon Echo with a built-in smart hub, yes, called the Echo Plus. Is it correct to assume if you get one of these, then all of your other Amazon devices will control smart home devices as well? Good question.
That is an excellent question. I do not know. I would assume yes, because the smart hub would just be there as part of the wireless network. So, yes, I would assume it would, but I actually don't know for certain. That's a very good question.
My understanding was with that particular new Echo device is that it just made it easier. It streamlined it so you didn't have to have a separate skill for every single thing in your house. It would automatically detect all the different things that were in your house and then automatically set it up in your Echo account. And so, based on that, I would presume that it would have to then branch out and work with all your other Echo devices, because it's just there to streamline the process and make it easier. And then once it's set up, you should be able to access it from other devices. I don't see why you wouldn't.
That would make the most sense, wouldn't it? You know, I mean, effectively, the other ones, they don't connect to the Echo Plus, but, you know, it's all connected to each other. So I mean, it gets quite complicated to try and explain this. I feel like I should have a big diagram up and flowcharts things up. You know,
you're absolutely right, because it will. Basically, it's just another piece of hardware that is on your Wi-Fi network that everything can talk to. So, yeah, thinking about it, it should be absolutely fine, because everything can just access it. And then the smart hub portion will just talk to your smart devices. So it should be absolutely fine, yes.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Sean. Thanks for cleaning that up. Right.
No problem.
Greg says, thank you for a great show. I hope they let you expand to a second hour. Shh.
Thank you, Greg.
But yeah, good point. Right, okay. Thank you for that, Greg. That's the email. Do you know, it's been lovely getting back through the emails this week. It feels like ages we've actually had a chance to sit down and go through the email inbox. So thank you for the emails.
We're always running out of time.
I know. We need that second hour. Right to your senator. Right. I think we'll stop for a second, because I'd like to bring in Claire at this point. We get Claire's Potter's Picks every week. Lots of you emailing in about this, and I just wanted to clarify something, because lots of you have been emailing in asking about some very specific information regarding the products. We'll try and put you in touch with Claire. But I just wanted to just clarify for everyone's knowledge here. Claire's doing this off her own back. She's chosen to do this for us because she really did love Jackie's Brown's Bargains when Jackie did those here on the programme. And as such, she really wanted to continue that. As I say, it's off her own bat. She's doing it her own way. She isn't able to see anything. She's completely blind, so she isn't able to see any specifics of buttons or etc. on the devices. So a lot of you are coming back to us with questions around, you know, well, can't Claire tell us about this button, or is this button accessible? We will do our best with that, but it is down to Claire, and these are her picks, her choices, They are not endorsed. No one gets paid for this. We do it all off our own back, and so does Claire. So we thank her for doing it. And if you have any questions, the best advice would be, I guess, to get in touch with the manufacturer of the device. That's probably the best place to begin. But yeah, we have spoken to Claire, and we will be hoping that we will be getting lots and lots of wonderful pics through, and lots of description of them as well for you. So here is our next Potter's Picks.
Hello everyone, it's Claire here again, back with Potter's Picks, where for a third and final time, I'm in the kitchen. And today in particular, I'm talking about items that you can use to help you make a drink safely. Let's kick this off with the instant water boiler, which is $39.99, and the code is E857, and this one is from Coopers of Stortford. This item helps you to save a lot of time and energy, and you can make a cup of coffee or a pot of tea instantly. To use it, you simply fill the 2.5 litre jug with cold tap water, turn the knob to power it on, and the hot water is instantly ready for you to use. This item is really accessible. The reason why I'm talking about this one in particular is because there are a lot of water dispensers on the market, a range of prices. They are from a range of shops, starting at about £30, then going up to about £70 to £80, depending on where you go to buy the water dispenser. This one is £39.99, but I'm talking about it because it doesn't have a touchscreen. A lot of the new ones that the supermarkets are selling, and a lot of the online stores are selling, are with a touchscreen, and there are no physical buttons whatsoever. It's really small print from what I've heard, which is really, really hard to read in terms of the temperature of the water. That's how the new ones work. This one, you just simply use just the one knob that there is, which you turn. So like I said, it's really accessible and it's quite safe to use. So once you've filled it, the water is ready. And unlike other water dispensers, you're actually in control of how much it dispenses. So you turn the knob once your water's ready and the water will start to dispense. Once you've finished, you will turn the knob again the other way and the water will stop. So once you've got the amount that you need, you just turn the knob and it will stop. It's really, really simple to use, and that's how easy it is. It also has a boil dry cut out function, which means that once you are running low on water, you will not be able to use it, and it will power off, which also prevents it from burning dry, so it's a lot safer to use. To order this item, you go to Coopers of Stortford's website, which is www.coopersofstortford.co.uk, or you can call them on 0330 331 0300, and you quote the code E857. Okay, my second item for today is the RNIB liquid level indicator. The code is DK127 and the price is £8.99. This liquid level indicator vibrates and has the audio function as well, and it can be used for both hot liquids and cold liquids. I actually have this item today with me, so I will let you hear the sound. Once you begin to fill your cup, you'll not hear anything. When you start to reach the top of the cup, you will hear this sound. If you continue to fill the cup or mug with the liquid, you will start to hear . So that's the second one. Once you start to hear the second one, you do need to stop, because then there is quite a high chance that you will overfill your mug or cup. So just bear that in mind. Okay, my next item for today is the LifeMax Anti-Spill Vacuum Mug. And it is available in white, turquoise, pink and black. It's supplied with a lid for extra protection, and it has a thin wall insulation to keep the contents hotter for longer. Its capacity is 470ml, and it has a suction design to reduce it being knocked by accident. But if you lift it vertically, it will actually lift quite quickly, so that's how you would lift it up. It's £13.99 and it's available from the shop, which begins with A and ends in N, online, and it sells everything. So I'm sure you know which one I'm talking about. And like I said, that's where you would buy this from. And there's no delivery charge for this one. It's free delivery and it's $13.99. That's the price that you pay. Okay, so I hope you find these items useful. And I'm back again next week where I'm moving on to talking about labelling. Okay, bye for now.
Thanks, Clea. And as always, if you have any questions for Clea, email us directly, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And hey, maybe you've even got some pics of your own you'd like to throw Clea's way. Get in touch with Clea through techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And just a reminder, she's doing this all off her own back, and it's from her perspective as well. That's really important to remember. So, you know, it might not be the review you expected, but then at the same token, it might actually be more information than you thought you might get. And certainly you're getting it from a blind person's perspective, which is kind of more the way I would want to hear it, I think. But yeah, thanks so much for doing that, Claire. Really appreciate it. Right, let's get to the news, guys, because time is always marching on. Time waits for no tech talker. Shakespeare said that, didn't he? Now, to the news, Mozilla Firefox is in the news this week, especially in Blind World, because JAWS 18 is not playing well with it, or at least the upcoming update, shall we say, to Mozilla Firefox is not going to be playing well with new JAWS.
No, that's right. So be careful. If you do use Firefox, make sure you do not update to the latest one, which is coming out, they're saying, November 14th. So they're calling this Firefox Quantum because it's such a huge leap. An improvement over previous versions.
I see what they did there.
I love that show.
Yeah, clever. Quantum Leap, oh boy. It's going to be twice as fast and use 30% less memory than the current version of Firefox. But the way they achieve this is by improving multi-threading CPU usage. Well, whilst doing that, they've change the priority of screen reader accessibility. So when the screen reader wants to get information about what current element you're on, it takes longer to do. And Freedom Scientific have come out and said, look, there is going to be a significant performance hit for JAWS. So you will find it really sluggish and unresponsive when using this latest update of Firefox. They are working with Mozilla on this, and hopefully there will be a fix for it. But do be aware, if you do rely on JAWS and Firefox, be careful not to update from November 14th to the, I think it's actually version 57, but it's called Firefox Quantum because there will be accessibility issues with that. Now, there is a workaround. There is a Firefox ESR, which I think stands for Extended Support Release, which will still work with JAWS whilst giving you all the latest security updates. So you can download that one and use that if you wish, but I would just wait until the fix has come out for the Quantum. Or, personally, I use Chrome. Again, that's my own personal opinion. Firefox is very good, but I find,
how dare you?
I find Chrome works. I don't know if this affects any other screen reader, though. I would be interested in that if it affects NVDA or any others. But definitely...
Edge. Edge.
Yeah, we don't talk about Edge.
Well, we don't talk about Edge, but actually JAWS 18 is out, Tim, and the new version is out, and apparently it's going to be amazing with Edge.
Well, I don't know if I go as far as to say amazing, but that's what they're trying to say, is that JAWS 18 is going to offer extended support for Edge, which, as you read the press release, and they say, well, we're going to add this shortcut and that shortcut and this thing and that thing, just like you would experience in Internet Explorer or Firefox or any other other online browser, it made me wonder, why weren't these things there to begin with? No wonder Edge was so bad with JAWS, because simple, very simple keyboard shortcuts and keyboard commands are just now being added for Edge with JAWS 18. And so it's about time, and I'm glad to see them doing it. Maybe Edge will be a little bit more viable. As John was talking about, though, I still may use Chrome or even Internet Explorer if I have to, or Firefox once they get these things fixed. But Edge, it supposedly is going to be fixed. So we'll see how that goes with JAWS 18.
Okay, well, looking forward to it. I guess one thing I'd like to know is, what has anything changed in regards to specification of the computer you need for 18? I mean, I guess that depends on Windows 10 as well, doesn't it?
That's right, yep.
Fast. I mean, I'm terrible for talking about the cheapest of the cheap computers that you can buy out there. But you know, I do get blasted for it on email and on Twitter occasionally by people saying, look, you know, stop buying cheapest of the cheap. Actually, you know, you do need to buy something with a bit of grunt behind it to do some work. And especially as I work in the audio field, you kind of need a bit of oomph. These are all technical terms.
Yes, obviously. Exactly.
Grunt and oomph.
correct.
Right, let's move on. iPhone 8 users are trading up for X now, or 10, actually. I like this story because I like it because it gives me a chance to do something I don't do often, and that's talk Apple down. I don't really understand. It's not so much talking them down. It's something I've observed. I have no idea why they even bothered with the 8. I don't understand why they even brought out the 8. To me, it was almost like, let's get some money in the bank before the 10 comes out. That's kind of how it felt to me. Because really, what was the point in bringing it out? Because now what's happening is people are going to, you know, these companies you can go to online and you can trade in your phone. They'll give you however much for it. Well, the company that's featured in the article, and I won't say who they are because there's so many of them, but you know, they said that they were receiving iPhone 8s, and this was something they were just not expecting. Within a month of buying it, people were getting rid of it while the retail or resale value was still relatively high. And of course, all of this was because people are now thinking, do you know what? They bought the 8 thinking, yeah, this is fine. I don't need the X. I don't want that. And then, well, actually, that looks really nice. I think I'll have one of those. And that's what's happened. So why have they done this? I don't get it. Is it just about money? Well, of course it's about money.
Well, I don't think it's just about money. I think it is about money, but it's not just money. A month ago, I would have said, why are they even bothering bringing out this iPhone 10? I mean, for the difference and for the cost, over $1,000 or £1,000 or almost £1,200, I think, isn't it? I wouldn't have even wanted to bother with the iPhone 10 in comparison if you had asked me this a month ago. However, I can see where some people are coming from with this because I've actually had the same dilemma. I've looked at my contract. I have my 12 months as part of the Apple Express or Apple, you know, upgrade deal, whatever they call it. And I've completed my first 12 months. So I'm able and eligible to upgrade to either of the next phones and just keep going on my contract. And I've compared it, and the iPhone 8 would cost me really no difference in price to just upgrade and continue on with an iPhone 8. And the iPhone 10 is only another $15. So for $15 more a month, I could do the iPhone 10, and it's really, really appealing. I've really thought about it. I haven't pulled the trigger yet. I didn't do a pre-order, so I'm just going to wait and see what happens once they get into people's hands. Thank you, Sean, for that advice. And just wait and see what happens once they're actually on the market and people are using them. But I'm holding off on an 8 because for extra $15 a month, I'm intrigued with maybe going to the 10, which, like I said a month ago, I would have told you no way, no how. I'm only going to stay with the 8.
I noticed that the iPhone 8, I haven't heard many stories about it in the last couple of weeks, but I did hear when it was coming out, it was having a bit of an issue. The same issue I have when I eat a Chinese.
Severe swelling.
Severe swelling, yes. Is that still a thing? Is that still a problem?
No, not that I've heard.
Yeah, it was just a few, as ever, you know, with millions being made, you're going to get a very, very small percentage where there's battery issues. I don't think it hasn't been called the swelling gate anyway, so I don't think it's serious enough an issue or a major issue that's going to cause problems. But going back to your question there about why did they bring out the iPhone 8, I think it is purely so they hit every price point and they realize that the iPhone 10 coming in at 1,000, whatever your currency is, you know, it's just on that edge of being too expensive. The iPhone 8, from a technology point of view, is just an increment. You've got wireless charging and, well, pretty much that's about it, and a performance increase. But, you know, they do that every year. But it is at the price point that people expect to pay, even if it's on contract or buying outright. So I think it's just a case of bringing out a new device and making sure they hit every price point. If they just brought out the iPhone 10 at $1,000 or £1,000, that's going to be an issue. As for people getting iPhone 8s and then selling them to these buying places, absolutely crazy. Why would you do that? I do not understand that at all.
No, not do I. But what I will say is I think that the sales figures are speaking for themselves. I mean, Apple never release, you know, per unit numbers, but what they will say is that, you know, the sales haven't been what they expected. In other words, people aren't buying them, at least in the numbers they were expecting. However, the iPhone X, Apple reported just this morning that demand is off the charts.
Yeah, as I would expect. I mean, this is a new design.
Yeah.
The basic iPhone hasn't changed from the 6, really. Let's say the 6S up to the 8. If you put them side by side, you wouldn't be able to tell a difference. The performance is incremental, a couple of new features, but other than that, it's the same. People get bored. We are very shallow. We get bored with it. We want something new.
Speak for yourself.
Well, yes, I am speaking for myself. I am incredibly shallow. So, you know, people want something new, and the iPhone X does offer that. It's a sexy new design.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think people are certainly divided into two camps. You're either going to buy the iPhone X or X. I can't decide what it's called. I know people say it's the 10.
It is 10.
But it is an X, you know. It says iPhone X. But yeah, iPhone X10. sounds better.
Confuse people.
I'm confusing people. Can I get one of those iPhone X10s, please? But yeah, so you can either buy the iPhone X or you can buy, or you can keep your existing phone. See, I mean, I've got an iPhone 7. My own phone is an iPhone 7 Plus, and my work phone's an iPhone 6. Doesn't work anymore. Launched through Windows. But if you've got the 7, you're probably not going to upgrade to an 8. And really, if you are considering it at the moment, it would be pointless, I think. But if you were going to make the upgrade, it would be to the 10. So it brings me back to my question, why even bother with the 8? I don't see the point. And I don't buy the whole price point thing, because I don't think Apple care about that as much as they might make out. And it's not enough of a difference in price. You know, if it's like Tim says, you know, most people probably, like Tim, are going to get it on a contract.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're getting on a contract, you know, the contract... I mean, don't get me wrong, contracts, this is another area of concern for me, actually. Less about the phones and more the contracts themselves. The Network 3 were criticised this week because they brought out the most expensive... one of the first to break the £100 a month barrier on phone contract prices. Now, I don't know what it's like in the States, Tim, but... You know, here we had £117 a month for a 2-year contract, I think it was. And that was you tied in for 2 years with this. That's a huge commitment to make to an iPhone. I hope that was no upfront fee.
Yes,
and that was,
I would hope so.
Basically all included. But if you add that up, it was coming up to around £2,100 a year, over the contract term that you are paying. So double the price of the phone to get the contract. Now, look, I'm not going to criticise 3 for this because it's a business, and you know what? If you don't want to buy it, don't buy it. Go somewhere else. You know, that's the joy of, you know, consumer choice. Some people clearly do want this and they have the money to spend on it, so they'll do it. But, you know, other options are available, as always. Do shop around, I think, is the key message there. But I think that overall, as much as that network were criticised for it, every other network I've looked at, the prices are around £70 to £80 above this particular phone. So it's going to cost you money either way, which is why I'm kind of holding off. I would rather spend the money up front. If I had the money, I would spend the money up front on an iPhone X10 and... get a contract on SIM only, because, you know, you can save a lot of money that way. You know, that'd be how I would do it if I had the money. But I don't, so I'll probably end up going down the contract route and spending an absolute fortune, which is kind of ridiculous. It kind of goes against itself, doesn't it?
It is difficult when we talk about, you know, the money. It's up to the individual to decide what they think is reasonable. But, you know, like you said there, the standard contract for an iPhone X for that particular model, which I will say was the highest capacity model, starts off around £80 a month. And for me, that's double what a usual contract is, around £35 to £40, let's
say. That's right, yeah.
So you're paying double, and to me, that is just too much. That's way over. But that's down to the individual, if you buy it outright or you get it on contract, if you think it's worth it or not. The actual phone itself, we just don't know at the minute. Until people get these in their hands, we don't know if it's fantastic or terrible. Personally, I'm going to skip both of these, the 8 and the 10, and wait for the next release.
That's maybe not a bad idea, actually, come to think of it. I'll tell you one phone we're probably all avoiding at the moment, and that is the Google Pixel XL. So Google have been trying to give themselves the name of great hardware maker, and it was all going really well with the Google Pixel, the Google Pixel 2, I should say. Then they brought out the Google Pixel 2 XL, which is its larger one, and let's just say there's been one or two problems. In particular, it seems to be around the screen. They seem to have real problems with the screen. Now, again, you know, you could argue the point about us, well, what does it matter? But it kind of does when you're spending that money on the device. You kind of want it to work.
You definitely do want it to work. And even though we may not use screens, we might use TalkBack in this case, there are those times where you have to turn off the screen reader and ask someone, hey, why isn't this working? What do you see on the screen? Well, because it's not talking to me, you know. So there are those times where you need that a little extra support, and the screen is helpful. Unfortunately, this is something that can happen with OLED screens, OLED screens. However, the burn-in that they're experiencing with these screens, it shouldn't happen for months, you know, years. I mean, this should be something that over many, many, many hundreds of hours of use could potentially happen, not just happen within a couple of weeks of being used. So for people that don't know, yeah, the screen, what's on the screen is actually burning into what, you know, into the image on the screen. And that just shouldn't happen this soon into a phone's life. Now, like I said, it's something that can happen with OLED screens, but not this fast.
That is crazy.
I quite like it. It takes me back to the late 80s, early 90s with screensavers and everything. The old burn-in. Right. I haven't seen this in years. There seems to be two issues. One, they're saying there's blotches on the screen, which again is familiar with OLED screens. And secondly, is the burn-in. I think the burn-in is more serious. I've heard people say that the blotchiness of the screen isn't really an issue unless you know it's an issue. When you look out for it, you see it in low light conditions. But the burn-in is a serious issue. So I don't know how widespread this is, though. I mean, it's so hard to tell with any new release of a device. People are looking for problems specifically. So who knows?
Well, that is where we end our show this week. Thank you so much to Tim and Sean, as always, for being here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And remember, we're on email. You can get us techtalk@rnibe.org.uk. We're also available as a podcast as well. And all the usual podcast places, wherever you get them, you'll get us. Search for Tech Talk, and you can search for... There's actually two feeds. A lot of people don't know this. There's two separate feeds for Tech Talk. There's the episodes, and there's features as well. Just put that at the end of the name, Tech Talk, and you can find your favourite features from the show over the past few years, and you can also find our episodes. That is it for our 200th episode. I hope we'll be here in 200 episodes more. And you know what, I was just thinking, if we end up going twice a week, not that I'm saying we will, you know, that's up to other people, but if we end up going twice a week, those numbers are going to rack up really quick, and that's going to look good, and that means I can get a cake quicker.
More cake.
And that's what it's all about.
Thank you, guys. See you next week. Bye for now.